Greetings, beautiful humans. This is Greg Amberge. You're listening to Glenn Klein Online. And it's March 25th, 2009. And unless I get this time machine functioning properly, this is the only March 25th, 2009 in the history of humanity. Glenn is away on business, and so I'm hosting tonight. And joining us from the, I guess it's the disclosed location in Houston, Texas, is the supreme dictator of the gospel revolution, Michael Williams. Welcome, Mike.
Good evening, Greg. It's good to have you on with us. And
Glenn always calls you the president of the gospel revolution, and I thought, you know, revolutions, they usually have a supreme dictator, so we'll tonight
only
yeah,
we'll
I let
was
you
ready
the supreme
for
dictator.
A promotion anyway.
I think supreme dictator pays more.
It does, yes, and I've been waiting for that for quite some time.
And
the consequences
the
at the end are pretty bad, too.
Yes, the good news is that our spring pledge drive goal of $25,000 was met. It was an overwhelming success. So, Mike, you want to make a few comments about that?
Oh, well, first off, thank you, thank you. It was almost frightening to set the goal, and we not only met that goal, but it was met with matching funds. And I want to mention some of the folks specifically that participated. And we had Richard Mull, who kicked it all off for us and got us off of Glenn's Schneid.
Schneid. I love Richard. I met him at the convention. What a great guy.
Oh, he really is. He is. He's been friend, confidant, and brother for sure, and the supporter in every way of the gospel revolution. Tom Tonsky, who has only been with us a short time. Pep Washburn, who's always there. And Robert Dixon, Lee Lau, our friend from Hong Kong. You got to meet Lee Lau there. And what a gentle soul. James Forehand. And James Forehand is in a move from his very cherished place down south of Houston here in Corpus Christi, and he's moving to Dallas. Starting a new business. We wish him all the luck. Mary Kustra, Jeff and Carolyn Cotton, who the history of them going back with me for so many years. They were there when I got kicked out of a church and rented a room so I could continue in Georgia some 20 years ago. And Chris Cross, Billings, Montana. Pat Salonen, always my buddy. That's all you could say, as she and her husband have just been buddies of mine for a long time. Leroy Burrell, Dan Myers, a good friend over in Georgia, and then Scott Johnson, who we heard from for the first time in about 12 years.
Oh, good.
Contact with Scott from Alaska. And, well, he had moved to Alaska. He was part of the gospel revolution all those years ago and the upheaval that hit the churches when I started sharing the truth with them. We had also participating was Tom and Linda Wilby and Celine Bedoff and Chris and Alexa Myers. These folks are all participated in a really wonderful way. And again, goodness, thank you. And a little over 10 years now, well, let me think back, it may be more, this particular pledge drive put us on a good, firm foundation, and we are ready to spread the gospel. Thank you guys so much. It has been a lot of years of fudging one way for the other way and trying to pay this and not pay that. And I think they call it robbing Peter to pay Paul, but I don't want to drag the apostles into our financial situation. But thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Everybody was very generous. And as you can see, there was not a large number that participated, but the generosity of those who did really put us over the top. And I think I'm going to set a goal next time, not for a certain amount, but a certain number of participants. We should have more than double that number of participants in this. And so I think that's going to be one of the goals, is that how many people we have participating in the pledge drive. So in this one, it looks like we came up with, I think, a total of 18. And I think we ought to have 40 people participating in this.
That would be great.
Yes.
Hey, we'd like to remind you, you're listening to the Gospel Revolution webcast on Glenn Klein Online. If you want to join us tonight and you're listening live, 9 to 10 Eastern Time, the number is 800-436-3260. Again, that's 800-436-3260. That'll connect you with Sean O'Halloran in our Tampa studio. I'm Greg Amberge, coming from my bunker here overlooking the Little Miami in Kings Mills, Ohio. And we've got Mike Williams on the phone. And we have a first-time caller tonight. We'll name him our Stafford, Virginia correspondent. Is a guy I met on Facebook this week. His name's Germa Colston. Germa, welcome to the Gospel Revolution.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, am I pronouncing your name right?
Yes, you're pronouncing it just fine.
Good.
Hello, Mike Lee.
Germa, welcome, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me on the air, guys.
Tell us a little bit about your story.
Well, let's see. It all started back in 1997. I had lost my older brother to suicide. And from that point on, for about a year, you know, that was basically the beginning of getting me on the questioning, you know, the whole meaning of life and why we're here and trying to make sense out of this whole thing. And so for about another year or so, having to deal with the grief and stuff and everything, I checked out a church with my mom. It was a Pentecostal church, and this was in October of 98. It was there when I, first heard about, a pretty good message, on the love of God and how, Jesus said that all of us who labor and carry heavy burdens come to him and he'll give us rest. So, I mean, at that time, that's when I first got, the revelation that, that God, loves me and that he was basically, my father. I didn't know any of the details or anything about why Jesus had to come or, dying on the cross or anything about theology. I just
were, were you worried about your brother's eternal destiny because of the way he had passed away?
I didn't worry about that until about 8 months later. You see, because I was on the spiritual high until about 8 months later. Then I got sucked into religion.
Right.
And it was, I started going to a Baptist church with a friend of mine from high school, and that's when I started hearing about the message of hell and damnation. And of course, that was when I started to get, a bit, tormented inside, but secretly, but I didn't really want to, really believe it. And I thought, there's just no way that, I just could not ever understand even at that time. And I make sense of it, that why a loving God would allow that to happen. Why he would create an eternal torture chamber. So from that point on until about 2003, I was really heavily sucked into legalism, going to, basically being a public nuisance,
We've all been there.
Kind of, you know, proselytizing, yeah, and of course not really having to deal with the grief. My brother's death on top of that, not being uncertain about, you know, about the well-being of his soul, and then, of course, having to, you know, quote, trying to appease what I thought was the angry God that existed. So it's like, and then by 2003, you know, of course, I do a lot of chatting and stuff,
right.
So, you know, Yahoo and other chat services, and I met a friend who, you know, introduced me to a site. This was, you know, realanswers.net. I don't know if you refer to, heard of Bob George or Steve McNair.
Yeah, Bob George.
That's where I was introduced for the Gospel of Grace for the Believer.
Yeah, Bob George and I were colleagues several years ago, and speaking together and doing seminars.
And, you know, that's when I first, you know, learned that, you know, that our, you know, that the issue, the sin issue was, of course, at least for the believer, was simply taken care of, and that we didn't need to continue asking for forgiveness. So that was my understanding from about 2003 until about 2007. You know, I did preach the Gospel of Grace for the believer only. And then late in 2007, you know, there's just certain things, you know, at that time, and I started, you know, getting in contact with other friends who had embraced, you know, inclusive grace, you know, universal salvation. And, of course, I kept in mind about it. I mean, it, you know, but then again, of course, always, I didn't know how to explain away these certain different Bible passages, but I think it was the thing that really got me was I spent a lot of time at tentmaker.org in the latter part of 07.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the articles that really helped to open my eyes to the truth of universal salvation was the article of 150 Reasons for Believing in the Final Salvation of All.
Yeah, I've read that one.
So, and that was in September of 07. And then, for about 3 months, you know, I held to the belief in ultimate reconciliation. And then by January of 08, I found the Gospel Logic, and I heard about, you know, the Glenn Klein broadcast. So I've been tuning in for about a year. And so,
oh, good.
And I read that one story about, I read that one Bible study about there's no bad news in the good news, and that really helped to solidify that, yes, reconciliation was already completed. It's not ultimate. It it already happened 2,000 years ago.
You know, it's interesting that you began the story with the telling of your brother's suicide in Cincinnati. Just yesterday, there were two girls at a high school in Northern Kentucky who killed themselves. It's a real tragedy around here. And I've heard, you know, different people talking about wondering about their eternal destination, and I thought, what a terrible thing for parents, in addition to the horror of dealing with their daughter's suicide, to wonder, you know, if she is in fact in hell. And what comfort the gospel brings when we know that people who are overwhelmed in, you know, mental illness or whatever, and whatever causes them to give up on life, as sad as that is, at least the eternal destiny part of it is not something we have to worry about.
Yes,
yeah, I'm sure. You know, the I'm always interested too in seeing, because I think the pretty much the most predominant thought out there of as far as total reconciliation was the subject of, as you brought up, was ultimate reconciliation. And I didn't even know what that was, because I'd been studying, you know, behind my closed doors and just for years looking to see about this subject, and completely unaware that there was a ultimate reconciliation. And it just, I got together with a group of my friends up in Canada who believed that, and I met with them. There was seven or eight of them and one of me, and the thing that I enjoyed was that you know, there wasn't an angry person there. You know, it was like nobody's going to lose this. We're all saying something that is very tremendous. But I remember the conversation and the going into the details about you know, why are you waiting for the complete redemption of the world? And why? Because, you know, comes the trickiness, as you know from studying the doctrine, is even some teach a temporary visit into hell or some form of torment or purging.
That doesn't bring much comfort.
Yes, and purging of some sort after death. And it's like, but wait a minute. All judgment went on the cross. And he has already purged our sins. How much cleaner do you think we can get after this life is over? And by the end of that time, all seven in that group had completely changed their mind from ultimate reconciliation to the reconciliation of all things at the cross. Which did that make a lot of sense to you when you started making that transition?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the thing is that, I mean, there's only one means of redemption, not two. And that's, of course, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Yes.
There just could not be, it just didn't make any sense. Why would we need a second cleansing or a temporary boot camp, if you will, in the afterlife? No, I mean, we're all good to go. I mean,
yeah, it's just a delaying of the doctrine that most evangelicals teach, that we're saved through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and something else, like our own works or our own repentance or whatever. And it's just pushing that off into another time. But it's the same thing, where we understand that the work of Jesus was complete and that no more punishment or judgment is going to be poured out.
No more cleansing, nothing. You don't need to, as Glenn always says, you're good to go. So, yeah.
Well, Gurmit, do you have some friends there in Virginia that you said that sort of believe along the same lines?
Well, right here that, in the immediate area, there is one of my friends that has recently come to this understanding, probably about 6 months after I did, you know, that I sat down and, you know, had a talk with him in the Waffle House and, you know, showing him, like, certain Bible passages of, like, you know, about the reconciliation of the world, of course, and Colossians, and, of course, Romans chapter 5. The one thing that really... that there's no way getting around, of course, with Romans 5:18, you know, that through Adam's transgression, you know, that judgment came to all, and that through one man's righteousness, that the free gift came to all into justification of life. So,
you know, it's interesting. I have a friend who's a preacher's kid, and he and I figured we had been in at least 10,000 Pentecostal church services by the time we were 25 years old, and neither one of us had ever heard that part of Romans 5 read in church, ever. In 10,000 services.
It's amazing the lengths they go to try to, you know, bend and explain it away by saying, well, Adam's sin affected everyone, but Christ's righteousness doesn't really take effect until you believe it.
Yeah, or if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you ain't going to make it. That's all true, but.
But who did it?
Well, Gurmit, don't be a stranger, and we'll continue to have you call in and be our Stafford, Virginia correspondent. And,
Thank you.
Just for anybody listening out there, we met through Facebook. I guess I had said something a few weeks ago on the webcast about joining Facebook, and there have been several people that I've never talked to on on the webcast that have sent friend requests. So that's a nice site. Germer, we're going to let you go and make room for somebody else. But thanks
well, listen,
for calling
just
in.
Before you yeah. do, I just realized something. Isn't Stafford close to Fredericksburg?
Yes, it is. And
well,
close to
I lived in Fredericksburg in 04, and we have a few gospel revolutionaries around there.
Yeah. If you could.
We'll have to hook you up.
We're going to get some email addresses going.
We will, yeah. We can hook you up, and it's not often that we can say we can hook you up in a certain city or town, but in Fredericksburg, we have a few.
Okay,
that's
thank
great.
You. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. You can go downtown to Picker's Supply, the music store downtown, and the gentleman down there is just head over heels for the gospel, Brand Dillard.
Wow.
Let's go downtown and walk in on it.
Again, we'd like to remind you, you're listening to the Gospel Revolution webcast. Our phone number is 800-436-3260. Again, that's 800-436-3260. So, Michael, are you still there?
I'm here.
We got an interesting email from Abraham Mackey's wife, Mary, who is my Facebook friend also.
She's the brains behind that operation.
So I know what all these people look like now. It's interesting. And just a second, I'm going to pull Mary's email up here. But she asked a very interesting question about, I'll just read it here. He said, Dear Mike, I'd like to know your take on the mystic type teachers that have been catapulted to the top by people like Oprah, such as Eckhart Tolle. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Have you read or listened to any of his books or talks? Tolle sounds a lot like a Catholic mystic, minus the Jesus is the only way message, although he does intersperse words from the Bible and Jesus throughout his talks. What is your take on these types of mystic teachers in light of the gospel message? And can what these people teach be Kingdom of God realities only with a different face? Did that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. I've had a lot of discussions about Eckhart Tolle and other writers and them presenting it from some mystic type of a platform. And the amazing thing is that these people, to find some truths about the gospel, have had to leave the gospel to find it. Now, that sounds a little strange, but I think that most of these folks have accepted that the only definition of Christianity is what they heard in church. Now, their heart, as you know, I've said for many years, when your heart is kinder than your doctrine, guess which one's wrong. Well, they took a good guess and decided that their doctrine was wrong, and found within their own heart some principles, if you will, that are, and I've not read these works in their entirety, so don't hold me to anything on this, but a lot of people who listen to the Gospel Revolution find a lot of encouragement in Eckhart Tolle's work, and it just doesn't talk about Jesus. Now, here is the thing, though. It's much better. It's like finding out the result of something but not knowing the source. So while these people had to skip over the source because the source had been contaminated, they went straight toward the truth that was in their heart. And I do believe that much of what they, at least as much of, that much of what I know that they say, are gospel truths. They are basic truths, and spiritual truths. But I, you know, my heart just goes out to them so much because they have to leave it in such a vague substance. It's not, you know, everyone's left to calling it, you know, the universe, the, you know, anything else under the sun that they want, when there is a real redeemer of the world that established all of these principles that they are speaking of. And it's just sad to me that Christianity took such a wonderful gospel and twisted it so and emaciated it so and made it so anemic that people have had to leave the substance of the gospel behind to find the impact of the gospel, if you will. And yes, I totally agree, Mary. I think that they have a lot of wonderful things to say. You know, when we opened up the website quite a few years ago, and we included on the site Marianne Williamson's statement that it's not our inadequacies but our greatness that we're afraid of, that entire comment. My goodness, of course, this was still, you know, we had people who were still trying to figure out up from down, and we had people that said, if you are going to quote somebody who says they don't even believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Lord, then, and you're quoting them, they openly admit they're not believers, and you've got a quote on your front page. And it's like, so, and that was so revealing to me, that we really believed that we had to embrace a certain thing to, and everybody had to be a part of our belief system to have any revelation of truth. And there are people who don't know anything about Jesus who have profound revelations of gospel truths.
Yeah, I've been for a long time a tremendous fan of two writers, Thomas Paine, who was around the time of the American Revolution, wrote Common Sense and The Age of Reason, who was probably an atheist and at the very least an agnostic. And then Ayn Rand, I'm a huge fan of her books. I actually paid my son to read Atlas Shrugged last summer, and he loved it. But they're atheists, and I think the thing that draws me to their writing is the same thing that makes me a fan of this crazy atheist from Great Britain called Pat Condell. It's on YouTube all the time. Is that they're asking all the right questions. They never got the answer, but they're asking all the right questions that'll lead you to the gospel.
Absolutely.
And you know, so I've learned a tremendous amount from people who don't even believe that there is a God. Well, joining us right now, let's see, I'm getting a message. Oh, James Gustafson from Saskatchewan.
Yes.
Is on the line.
Another one of our contributors.
James,
I was just thinking, I need
to
go back
to the Gospel Revolution.
I left James's name off. Hey, James.
Hello.
How's Saskatchewan tonight?
Well, we're enjoying a little weather tonight.
You got that big storm coming at you.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how heavy it's going to be, but looking out my front window, it's snowing pretty good.
Yes, James. Why don't you? James Gustafson attended the convention. He also participated in our pledge drive. And James, is there anything in particular on your mind? I want you to. One thing I want you to do is tell the people about our first encounter and kind of your journey through this.
Well. First of all, I wanted to say hi to Greg.
Hello. We got to have several dinners together up there down in Houston.
Yes,
that was fun.
And I was just telling Mike recently that I got the tapes from the convention, and the session that you had taught. I was away that, I guess that was the afternoon, Greg. And so I had just listened to it recently, and I thought I wished I wouldn't have missed that. Although through the CDs, it was almost as good as being there, I guess.
Thank you. They made me follow Carlton Pearson.
Pardon?
They made me follow Carlton Pearson.
Yeah, right. No, you did. It did a good job. I guess I understand a little bit more about you. I appreciate you giving your testimony format. It's very, very helpful, and you've definitely been around the religious part, and it can be very helpful. And then I wanted to say that I had just last evening I'd listened to the tape that Mike did on Mike, you're gonna have to help me because we chatted about this already, about receiving the approval of God.
Yes.
I'm not sure that was the term you used but that is a tape that is amazing, or I call them tapes, but a CD. And that was the tape the CD that you did after the one where you addressed a number of subjects that weren't included in the gospel. Then I remember Glenn introducing you that next morning, and he said, "I'm so excited now to hear what is part of the gospel." And certainly that is definitely it's definitely a key driver for the gospel to me, is to know that you have the approval of God. However, you want me I don't know how the tapes or the CD tapes are going or whatever. If people feel the necessity to order them or not, but there is that entire series is amazing.
Mike, where would they go to order those tapes?
The CDs.
GospelRevolution.com.
Just GospelRevolution.com. In fact, there's a big advertisement for it right on the front page. And I could not encourage people. We went into this convention believing that this was the launching pad. No, I wasn't thinking of any pun that they have the Houston Space Center, but I really felt in my heart that this was going to be a real launching pad for us and a very defining moment in the gospel. And as it and for Mike Williams Ministries and all the gospel revolutionaries that we have, and it has turned out to be just that. We have moved into the possibilities of reaching people that we just didn't have the ability to do before, and the teaching itself from everyone was brought a culmination of clarity. I also enjoyed teaching, and I thought it was very interesting that I had it in my heart first to teach on what the gospel is not and what is not a part of the gospel. And people were blown away, especially when you stand up and tell them that healing is not a doctrine of the gospel, because the gospel and all of these things, it didn't, and we explained, it doesn't mean that the healing isn't there or that the miraculous isn't there, but the gospel is not a revelation of what God will do for you or could do for you. Everyone has that in a very subjective area with many different parameters to it. But the thing that we did first off was tear down all of those things, because it was limiting us from seeing the full impact of the gospel, as James was saying, God's view and opinion of us. So we had to strip away all of the religious paraphernalia, even the good stuff, and leave it bare so that we could go through and show what the gospel actually did include and get back on that true and pure foundation. And it really was. The convention in November really was a launching pad. And November's coming up again. I know it's only springtime, but it always sneaks up on me really fast. James, you coming back down to Houston in November?
Well, I would sure like to, and I, you know, I'm planning on it.
So it was worth coming back again, all the way from Canada, eh? See, I even got the A in there. I didn't even mean to.
Yeah, I hear you. You know, Mike, when we were, when I was listening to this, these tapes, you mentioned, you know, in the early days about your proficiency with of casting out devils.
Yes.
And that whole thing. And I think that's probably where we first met. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I can't remember which comes first here, you know, your invitation to our group in Weyburn, or if you were a guest speaker for Full Gospel Businessmen. I can't remember which way that you might remember which way that happened, but that must have been in the mid 70s.
Yeah, it was way back there. I know. I was speaking on a tour for Full Gospel Businessmen, and the church there in Weyburn formed out of my visits there.
That's exactly it. Yes,
and then you guys, see, I've not always destroyed churches. I used to establish churches. but this was one that started out of the ministry. This was during a very explosive time of spiritual things happening that, I can't explain, and I'm not going to try to explain them away. They were true experiences for us, James, that's for sure. And... but yes, out of those meetings and, you know, most of the meetings that we had, they were growing so rapidly we couldn't, you know, hardly contain all the folks that were showing up. I remember going to that one little town out in the middle of the prairie somewhere. I don't even know where it was. And we had more people show up in the church than the population of the town.
Well, I think that would have been Pangman, would it not have been?
It may have been, but I know the name. See, you say these names, and they kind of come rushing back to me.
I don't remember all those where you all went. I do remember once a meeting in Regina in a hotel one time.
I remember that.
And
I know I did one meeting in a church in Regina, and the pastor got very upset with me while I was there.
See, but where things really, really switched for us was, after you not being our guest for a number of years, the leader of our church felt it was time to bring you back, and in that period of time, your message had changed.
Yes.
And you, upon our invitation, had sent back a tape saying that, you know, I'm very happy to come, but before I do come, you need to listen to this tape because I have changed my message.
Yeah.
And then the board at that time chose not to listen to the tape or whatever. Probably didn't take the time. And then you came back and taught the message of the gospel of grace and peace.
Yeah.
And of course, they were looking for you to come back and do a deliverance ministry.
Cast out some devils.
Yes. And that's when that whole thing all started to fly apart.
You wouldn't believe, James, how many churches that I was revisiting. I have to pat myself on the back a little bit. I didn't go back in knowing that they did not know and just drop a bombshell. How many places I said that to the pastor on the phone? Yes, but here there's some things that have changed about what I'm teaching, and I want you to listen to this, and then I will still gladly come. And how many places said, no, Mike, the Lord told us to tell you to come on anyway, or whatever, you know. I did have ones that said that. I can't remember what they said in this specific situation. And then then they just didn't listen to it, you know. And like you said, boy, then things always started happening. A lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, well, and you know, the important part for me and what put me on the journey was when I stumbled into that, or I didn't. I was staying in the same hotel where you were in the ballroom. I was there on business.
We had not seen each other in years.
Yes, and you came into the breakfast restaurant there for breakfast and made a comment of you being very happy that I was there to join in the conference. Up until that moment, I had not even heard about this great conferences.
And this was not even in your area. You live in Saskatchewan, and this was in Calgary.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, my daughter lives in Calgary, and she didn't at the time. We were in there on business. And,
yes, that's right.
And it was that day that my journey began. I shouldn't say my journey, I think, begins when you're born, but that's when I really had to, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And, there was a comment made while you were at the convention, or while we were at the convention, that, and I think maybe you even made it, Greg, that Mike's not a teacher, he's a reader.
Yeah, that's right.
And
I think there were a couple people that made that remark.
Yeah, and I it's not definitely not a negative remark. It's a great remark, but you're also a great teacher. But I remember sitting in that ballroom, and I could have swore that the first thing I did, and I knew you well enough that I walked up to the podium after you dismissed the meeting to see what material you had and what you were reading, because you were claiming to read out of the Bible, but I had never heard it before. And when I got up there, you showed me line upon line and verse upon verse what you had read in context. That, and I couldn't believe it. I had been around it for so many years and had not heard it.
Yeah. And just reading through a chapter, you know, let me tell you another very interesting thing. Of course, you know, my favorite teacher is Wade Brewer, and you've had
me
the
too.
Opportunity. Yes, and Wade's a tremendous teacher. But you do know that it was that same meeting that Wade came to his understanding of the gospel.
Really?
So you and Wade got. Your conversion took place at that very meeting. I met Wade Brewer in that same. He asked me to meet with him. He had heard some about this stuff, and I had sat with him at breakfast in that very same restaurant where that I met you, and I met Wade for the first time. And then I asked him to come on in and attend one of the sessions. I don't know if it was one while you were there or not. But he had gone through some troubles, and he tells it with tears running down his face every time. He was in the Pentecostal church. He was a United Pentecostal pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had asked me, and he's repeated this several times, what do I do? And I told him, don't miss a beat. Just keep walking. And he can't mention that story because of all that he had been beat up with by the Pentecostal church and the doctrines. And that I was telling him, you keep walking. So you and Wade Brewer had your initial turn in your path, if you will, there at that particular conference that I was doing in Calgary. And I'm coming back
to Calgary.
Wade, in
May. Tremendously. I've kind of lost touch with him. The last time that I saw him, we went snowmobiling out down in around Painter Creek.
I remember that.
And we didn't take enough sun protection. We both peeled like onions. I'm telling you, I didn't think I'd ever recover from that. But he's crazy, you know, on that snowmobile.
He's crazy
yeah, Mike,
in more ways than on that snowmobile. Now, he is going to be there with us at Calgary this year. So in May, he's going to be there. So.
Oh, really? I really relate to Wade. I guess maybe it's because of my Pentecostal background and But I first heard some of his, they have a few of his recordings from one of your meetings on the Gospel Logic site and, gospellogic.com. And, man, Wade he just connects with my heart in a way that's very special. And I've never met the guy, but he's a tremendous, he has a tremendous way of just sharing the gospel. You can tell that it's really changed his life.
He is what I call a gospel illustrator.
Yes.
He illustrates the gospel in stories, Old Testament stories, New Testament stories, and suddenly the picture is you're sitting there just listening to the story, and suddenly you're just hit with this beautiful Renoir. You're looking at a Monet. It's just a gospel Monet that you're looking at. And, yeah, definitely. And, we gotta get that boy back teaching again.
Well,
we do.
I told you a number of times, Mike, and I think, Greg, I think I'm saying the same thing that you just said. Wade helped me sort a number of things out because, you know, for me, I was afraid for a long time that I was the only guy that was going to have to try and sort this out because,
right.
Like, Mike's message was so different to me than what we had remembered back in the days of when he visited almost every year in the church. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to be the one that's going to have to sort this out. But Wade really helped me sort it out, and I don't even know if he knows that because I don't know that I took the time to tell him that, but. I know I told you that, Mike, because,
yes.
You know, a number of times it was, and I didn't have a Pentecostal background, nor did I have, even though I was raised very religiously, I wouldn't be able to. I heard Greg say how many times he'd been in church, and I think I'd probably be as close, but I think I was a daydreamer, and I didn't pick up on half that stuff.
Part of your salvation there, James.
Yeah.
That's good.
So.
Well, we'd like to remind you, you're listening to the Gospel Revolution webcast. Our phone number is 800-436-3260. Again, 800-436-3260. James, did you have anything else?
I just wonder if Greg Glenn Klein is listening in.
He's probably going to be listening on the archives. I believe he's up in the undisclosed location in Wisconsin.
Oh, I was wondering. Because,
he's quite busy with his business trip this week.
Good for him.
That, yeah,
Glenn is helping to restart the economy.
Oh, good.
Yes, he is. And he'll probably do it, too.
Glenn can get it done. That's right.
If it can be done, Glenn can do it.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay,
James,
well,
thanks
I'll,
for calling.
I'll make room for someone else. So.
Okay.
Nice talking to you guys.
If you want to join us here on the Gospel Revolution, it's 800-436-3260. Mike, I heard a statement today that Tim Keitner accidentally made. And, of course, he took it back an hour later. But he said, let's see, I've got the quote here. He was quite open to China's idea of a global currency system, which would basically replace the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, some new global currency that individual countries would not be able to manipulate. And then, of course, an hour later, he said, no, I didn't mean that. But he's on film saying it. So I thought that's going to trigger, every televangelist in the world getting on and talking about the end of the world, and apocalyptic preaching will be at a fever pitch this Sunday. And it's interesting that the series that they gave away for making a contribution to the Gospel Revolution spring pledge drive was God Destroys the World. I think that's what it was called, right?
That's correct.
I think that teaching for me, not, I mean, of course, I didn't hear that exact one, but other teaching you did on
the end of the world
that sort of dispelled the whole end times thing was the most liberating thing for me and was really life-changing, because I grew up never believing I would reach adulthood. I believe we were going to be raptured, and I would never get married and never have any kids. And for me to have that paradigm shift in my thinking has been life changing. You want to tell us a little bit about what's in that series?
Yes. Well, it is of course it is a provocative title, but not one that probably any human being is unfamiliar with. But what they are unfamiliar with is that God did destroy the world. And the term world is translated into English from three separate, totally different meaning words. And to us, the world means the planet. But that just is not the case in any of the words where that the topic comes up about the end of the world. And the world that ended, and because we don't know that it ended, actually Christianity has done its best to revive the world that God destroyed. Now, let me say that again, because this needs to sink in. If you are going to church and you are listening to traditional Christian doctrine, you are listening to an attempt to restore and to revive the world that God destroyed.
And that's good preaching, Roberts, right there.
It's an attempted resurrection. But believe me, folks, they're waiting on a resurrection that's already taken place and resurrecting something that God himself destroyed. It is just such a confused mess. And I can't put it in any other terms, but it's actually a two CD series. Later on, we will be offering that to others to be able to purchase. Right now, just our folks that have participated in the pledge drive with $100 or more will be getting that. In fact, those are in the process of being mailed out now, sent out. In fact, I think some of them have already been sent out. Thank God for Don Murphy. Donnie, if you're listening, thank you. And a million thanks. When you get those CDs, folks, know they have been sent out with love. That is for sure. This man and his wife started supporting the gospel and Mike Williams Ministries when they were homeless. I'm not speaking metaphorically. They were homeless, and they fell in love with the gospel. They knew that they weren't homeless because God was mad at them, or they had failed, and they were so grateful that the little bit of finances they did have coming in, they were used to doing without, and they thought, we can do without for a little while longer if we can give what funds we have coming in. That's just the most bizarre story I think I can tell you about somebody supporting the gospel. But now they've always been a part of the ministry, and now they are actually a part of our staff. And just know that when you get those things in the mail, they have been sent out with the greatest of attention and with an awful lot of love.
We've got about 6 minutes to go. If you're listening live and you'd like to join us, the number is 800-436-3260. Again, that's 800-436-3260. Mike, do we have any information on the convention this year about who might be speaking or anything like that?
Yes, it's going to be this past time we had guests that we were wanting to actually be able to express their a couple of our guests that we really wanted them to express their versions of the gospel, and we were able to address what those differences are. And there was not a moment of contention, and you will everybody will love listening to these CDs. And but this time, our all of our guest speakers are gospel revolutionaries for sure, and this is just going to be a love fest. It's we're looking forward to it, and I know Scott Johnson is coming down from Alaska. And he's
going to
be sharing with us. Yes, he's going to be sharing while we're there. I know that we're going to have the illustrious Greg Ambergy sharing again, and Glenn Klein, and myself, and believe me, there will be others that we're going to be having down. Excuse me.
Some of the best stuff that I heard down there was just when someone from the crowd would get up and speak for 5 minutes. I'm drawing a blank on the guy who was the school teacher that used the easel. I can't remember his name.
Oh, yes, Chris Harrington.
Yeah. He used an easel, and some of the drawings that he did just brought such clarity to the gospel in a 5 minute segment. It's really beautiful.
Yes, those are Chris and Glenda Harrington, Texas folks. They live up at Nacogdoches, and
right.
They're about.
And then Mark from Arkansas, he was really good.
Yes,
the Arkansas Greek, Hebrew scholar.
Absolutely, and we've got a lot of others coming in. Mark's going to be there again. He's going to be speaking at this one. Hebrew and Greek scholar, and there will be others. Believe me, it is not going to be a boring week, that's for sure.
And do we have a date on it yet?
Yes, it's November the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, I believe. It is that, remember last time we started on the 5th, on Wednesday, and now we're starting on the following week, but starting on a Thursday, and we added the Wednesday night actually to work Carlton and Pearson into our schedule. I just got a notice that Carlton is on going to be on Nightline tomorrow night with Deepak Chopra, and then a couple of people from the evangelical community, and they're going to be debating the existence of the devil.
Wow, I'll have to tune in for that.
Tune in, yeah, because, with our conference here, and Carlton was here with us as our guest speaker, and like I said, he's appearing on Dateline on the 26th. That's tomorrow evening. I don't know the particulars, but any little search will tell you exactly what time. Nightline is an ABC broadcast, evening news broadcast.
We know what the works of the devil are.
Well, that's for sure. And they have been destroyed.
And the church keeps trying to revive the...
they're reviving the works of the devil, too.
They're reviving the works of the devil. So, we've got about a minute left. Do you have anything else you want to say?
No, again, I think the best way to top this one off, Greg, is, again, a multitude of thanks from a very grateful heart. Everybody knows I've carried the financial weight of this entire ministry for over 10 years now, and I 10 to 15 years ago, in that period of time, I had investments, and I sold my properties and my investments in some cases to get the equity out of it to pay the bills of the ministry because all of the funds had dried up. And it has been a long and very difficult and extremely rewarding 10 years. And I can tell you, I was putting $10,000 a whack into the ministry out of investments that was just selling out my future, actually.
Well, and you didn't have to go through the pain of losing it all in the stock market in the last year.
Well, the rest of it I lost right after that. So here was the dilemma that I had, was that I was taking all of its funds, and boy, you talk about obliterating all of my beliefs about that if I gave, that God would make sure everything was taken care of. Now, maybe this is a 10-year delay on this, but the fact of it is that I lost the rest of what I had in the stock market also due to the wonderful advice of a stock broker. And it's like the commercial used to say, I know why they call him a broker now, because I'm broker now than I was when I had him. And but to come this full circle over 10 years later and to have these folks on this list and many others who are already partners with me in the gospel. And honestly, thank you so very much. I have, like I said, I've carried this burden a long time, and we, for the first time, have our feet on a stable financial foundation now. Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you very much. This has been Glenn Klein Online, the Gospel Revolution Show. We'd like to thank our guests, James Gustafson of Saskatchewan, and Gurma Colston of Stafford, Virginia. For Glenn Klein, this is Greg Amberge and Mike Williams saying, and I got to do my Harry Carey imitation. Shalom, everybody.